one from another.
It was lovely.
They were lying under the blanket, spoon fashion, her buttocks pressed against him. Doc seemed to recall that they'd both slept for a while, wrapped in each other's arms. But now, with the pressure of her body against him, Doc could feel something happening. She felt it too.
You okay back there, Doc?
I can't recall being in such stimulating company for many a long day, dear lady.
Flattering old dog.
Flattery, they do say, will eventually get you everywhere, madam.
And look where it got you. Saved the life of a poor, frail traveler, lost and helpless in this burning wilderness. And now you're sharing her bed. You been in the sexual desert a while, Doc?
A while?
I figured. You not had anyone steady for a few weeks, is that it?
Weeks? I would that it were only weeks, my dear Suki. I cannot truly tell you how long it must have been since I have enjoyed satisfactory congress.
There had been one or two isolated examples since he'd been trawled. Lori Quint, he recalled, had been a beautiful wild child.
How about gaudy sluts? You ever gone with whores, Doc?
Doc hesitated. He did not want to give the woman too much information about himself too quickly.
Some time ago, I was most cruelly plucked from my home and my loved ones and taken to a strange place many miles away.
Slaved? Heard of that, Doc.
The men who had taken me wanted me because of some knowledge I had. It doesn't matter what that was. But they tried to keep me happy in my imprisonment, like offering a sweetmeat to a caged songbird. They took me out under the most careful supervision and allowed me to respond to the come-ons of whores working down on 7th Avenue.
Suki squirmed a little, reaching behind her to see how his interest was going, and found that it was rising.
Go on. Where is this 7th Avenueville?
New York, that most tawdry of towns.
Thought it was totaled. Just ghouls and a shitlot of nuking left.
This was in another sort of place. Anyway, these whores on 7th Avenue, I must confess that there were odd occasions that I took some comfort there to ease my loneliness. But it was a poor comfort indeed.
Well, it feels to me like you're ready for some of my own home-cooked comfort. That is, if you want it.
It appears that I do, my dear madam. It appears that I do.
And afterwards, they fell asleep again, most comfortably, secure in the knowledge that Judas would give them ample warning of any dangerous intruder. For the first time in a long while, Doc Tanner relished a gentle and dreamless sleep, free of the shadow-ridden nightmares that normally plagued him. By the time he woke, the fire was burning brightly, and Doc could smell sausages frying in the skillet. Coffee sub was boiling, and most amazingly, Suki was standing next to the mule, gently stroking his neck.
Watch him, dear lady. He can be trusted as far as a politician's promise.
Seems sweet enough to me, Doc. Guess he's like a lot of men. Handle them right and they'll just eat out of your hand.
She turned and walked toward Doc, smiling.
Though it wasn't exactly my hand that you were eating out of last night.
To his great embarrassment, Doc found that a rosy blush was spreading up his neck and across his cheeks, suffusing his entire face with bright crimson.
I did not think that you...
Suki sat down by him, leaning across, one arm snaking around his neck. She kissed him softly on the cheek, then tousled his hair.
You're something else, Doc, you know that? Really something else.
And with that jocularity, they began to eat breakfast in their makeshift bed. Surprisingly, the sausages and coffee were just as amazing as the one who prepared them, and Doc told her so. Once he had finished, Doc started to get up to take his pans over to the stream.
I'll clean up the pans, Doc.
No, I would not dream of it. Not with you injured.
Suki held up a hand.
Hell, that feels a sight better than last night. The exercise must have helped it. I mean it. There's a triple big debt between us.
Firstly, there never was a debt, as well you know. If a gentleman cannot assist a damsel in distress without some expectation of recompense, then things have come to a sorry pass. And secondly, if a debt had existed, then last night's activities would have more than wiped the slate clean between us.
She kissed him again, then left him to clamber slowly out of the bed. He headed to the nearby stream for a wash, taking care to give Judas a wide berth. The bubbling water was icy cold. It was a wonderful morning, with the cool freshness in the air that is so typical of the Colorado Plateau. A large bird flew way above him, riding the thermals, but Doc couldn't make out what it was. Peering into the bright sky made his eyes blur, and he rubbed at them. He looked out across the flowing ridges of the foothills, way down to the open expanse of the desert. Somewhere down there was the homestead of Jack Lauren. Down there would be Christy, Dean, and Mildred. Maybe Ryan and JB had returned during his absence. A dust devil skittered across the gray-yellow land. Or was it smoke?
By the three Kennedys, but it looks uncommonly like a plume of smoke. I trust that all is well with my friends.
But even as he looked, the wind rose and the thin pillar of smoke was blown away. Though he watched for another couple of minutes, it didn't reappear. Suki was over near the embers of the dying fire.
Everything all right, Doc?
Indeed, yes, my dear lady. I believe that everything is quite excellent.
Dean's morning bonfire had gotten just a little out of control. It had started well enough when he'd risen very early from his bed, before anyone else was stirring, intent on finishing the job of clearing old straw out of one of the smaller barns. It had been dry, mixed with ancient horse manure, and he'd shoveled and barrowed it outside. Jack had told him to take it out well beyond the corral fence, past a patch of dry scrub, along the flank of an old wall, to the edge of an arroyo. He wasn't to start burning it until he'd found a safe place. But that meant negotiating a narrow, bumpy section of the path, between piles of stones. Nobody else was up and around, and Dean had decided to take a chance. He filled the straw against the ruined remains of the wall, with patches of adobe still covering it, then looked toward the house before lighting the fire. The self-light caught quickly, the wispy flame almost invisible in the startling brightness of the dawn sunrise. Then there was a little feathery smoke. The next moment, the 11-year-old was up on his feet, sprinting as if the hounds of hell were at his heels.
Jack! Christy! Mildred!
The fire blazed up, a few clumps caught by a gust of wind from the west, and carried into the dry scrub, which ignited instantly. Tufts of grass ran all along the low wall, which connected to the larger barn, where some of the livestock was kept. It would only be a matter of minutes before the tongues of fire raced along the lee of the tumbled wall and reached the dust-dry timbers of the barn. They stopped it only a couple of yards short. The thin column of smoke that had been rising into the still air was choked off and finally died. Christy threw down her scorched broom, wiping sweat from her sooty face, pushing back her fiery hair.
Gaia, not the kind of start to a day that I like.
Me neither.
Mildred held a flat piece of leather nailed to a broom handle to make a fire beater. It had worked effectively on the grass blaze, but would have been useless if the flames had traveled 6 feet farther. Jack had used a long-hafted spade to beat out the danger. Now he threw it down in the sand and wiped smudges of dirt from his white face. His snowy hair was matted with perspiration and flakes of charred grass. His eyes were as red as the pit when he turned to look toward Dean, who had dropped to his knees, fighting for breath.
Well,
not my fault, Jack.
It's not.
No.
Christy's fault?
Of course not.
Mildred? Me?
I didn't know it was going to set the grass alight. It was a kind of fluke of the wind, Jack. Honest.
Jack took three menacing steps toward the boy.
Honest? You're not honest, kid. That's not honest. Where did I tell to light the fire? Not here?
Not exactly. You said to take the straw and stuff over to the edge of the draw and set light to it over there. It was hard, so I...
So you took the easy way. Could have burned a barn, lost animals. You know that?
Dean stood, looking at his feet, not meeting the teenager's angry glare. The two women watched in silence.
I'm sorry, Jack. It was triple stoop, and I'm sorry.
I ought to beat your ass black and blue.
Okay.